Exodus 22, 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." Brother Matt?
Well, whenever I begin the process of taking on a character in a theater show, I like to dig into the script, get the backstory for the character. You know, what motivates the character to do what he does and say what he says? I also dig into the history of the time period the play is set in, if that is noted in the script. When I'm reading a scripture text, some of that same digging can be helpful. Looking into the time period and the character's backstory. And I could tell you, Abraham had a lot of backstory that happened before the story we heard Kathy read today. Backstory that will help explain why Abraham did what he did and said what he said. Backstory that the text calls "after these things." Well, let's go back a few decades in the life of Abraham, but then he was known as Abram. Abram was 75 years old when God told him to leave behind everything he knew. The Lord said, "Go to the land I will show you." Oh, wait a minute. Abraham was 75, probably set in his ways. I'm close to 50. I think I'm pretty set in my ways, but 75. And this command was a tall ask for Abram. "Go to the land I will show you." That's kind of nebulous, isn't it? Couldn't the Lord at least point the way that Abram should start out? You know, be more specific? North? South? East? West? This was a test. Make no mistake, a test. Lord of the test. Then the tension breaks forth in the next words from the mouth of God. This comes from Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 2. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Lord of the test has become Lord of the blessed. The tension between a God who tests and a God who blesses was there from the beginning for this relationship for Abram. Now, how would Abram respond? This must be the final exam, right? Well, as most of us know, Abram went to Canaan, Shechem, Canaan, and even more specifically, to the Oaks of Moreh. God appeared to Abram and said, hey, you found it. I will give your offspring this land. Offspring, right. Oh, did I forget to mention that Abram and Sarah, his wife, had no offspring? No daughters? No sons? Well, servants, yes. Livestock, yes. But no human children. And they were well beyond normal childbearing years. It's ironic that Abram's name means father in Hebrew, isn't it? This must be the final test, right? Right? Guess what? A famine happened in the land, and Abram and Sarai went down to Egypt. And for some reason, Abram did not believe that God would protect him. So he and Sarai lied about their relationship. This is not going well, is it? But through Pharaoh, God blessed Abram. Well, when Abram puzzled about this inconvenient fact of childlessness, he came to God with a problem of no offspring, no heirs to the promised blessing. Eliezer, his servant, would have to be his heir. That's what Abram thought. But God said, no. Your offspring will be more numerous than the stars in the sky. Which Abram, by the way, couldn't see at the time because it was during the daytime. Okay, then Sarai had an idea. Oh, let's have offspring through one of my maidservants. And Abram and Hagar produce Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Abram was 86 at the time. Problem solved, right? Right? Ugh, not so fast. God doubled down on his promise of an heir through Sarai. Ishmael would not do. The child of the promise would come through Sarai. The covenant of circumcision began at that time. Abram was given the name of Abraham. Father had become father of many. Sarai got a new name too, Sarah. By the way, Abraham was 99, going on 100, and Sarah was 90. Not exactly a recipe for success if you want to bear a child. It seemed like the promised blessing was void. Abram knew it, and he laughed. He fell on his face with laughter. Sarah, when she heard it, well, she laughed too. That's how Isaac got his name. Isaac means he laughed. Isaac was born to two people who seemed to have zero chance of producing an heir. They were as good as dead in the water, but God's blessings beat the odds. Now, that has to be the final test. And they passed it with flying colors. Everybody laughs now. Isaac is born to elderly senior citizens. Hey, it's time to be blessed. Now that's the backstory to today's scripture passage. That's when God put yet another test on Abraham. God called Abraham, and Abraham said, "Here I am." The Lord said, "Offer Isaac as a burnt offering to me. Go to the land of Moriah, to the mountain I will show you." Go to the mountain that I will show you. Do you hear an echo of the call from several decades ago? I do. Now, go to the land that I will show you. Go to the mountain in the land of Moriah that I will show you. Well, at least God is a little more specific this time. But sacrifice Isaac? Excuse me, did I hear that right? Isn't Isaac the child of the blessing? The one God promised to bless all peoples through? This can't be right. This is the tallest ask of them all. Well, Abraham would refuse, right? At least talk it over with Sarah and question God about his command, about this test. Nope. He did not talk it over with Sarah. He did not question God. As Job once said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Period. Instead, Abraham got up early the next morning. I'm willing to wager he did not sleep well that night. He got up early and made preparations for the trip. He gathered the wood for the offering, the knife, and the makings for a fire. He piled these on a donkey and left with Isaac and a couple of his servants. It was a journey of 3 days. When he saw the mountain, he dismissed the two servants and journeyed on with Isaac. The wood, the knife, and the fire. Abraham took nothing else. And when he dismissed his servants, Abraham told them that they would go and make a sacrifice and that they would return. Abraham knew that God had already brought life from death. So he expected God to do so again. I guess he expected another life lesson. Moriah, by the way, Moriah, where the mountain was, Moriah means God is my teacher in Hebrew. Like Daniel from the movie Karate Kid, Abraham had learned to trust God as his teacher. Daniel had learned to trust Miyagi, his karate teacher, even when what he demanded seemed totally unrelated to karate, you know, paint the fence, wax on, wax off. Yes, God was going to bring life from death again. Now, at this time, Abraham was well over 100. Isaac was old enough to understand what was going on. He knew the items needed for a sacrifice. And Isaac knew that something important was missing. The lamb, you know, the animal to offer. They had even left the donkey behind with the servants. So Isaac called upon Abraham, and Abraham simply replied, as he does several times in this text, "Here I am." When Isaac asked about the lamb, Abraham said that God would provide. He'd seen the provision of God for several decades now. Abraham had no reason to think that today, that day, would be any different. Then the time of testing came. They were on the mountain. Abraham built an altar. He arranged the wood on that altar. And Abraham bound Isaac on the altar. It's a wonder that there wasn't a struggle here. A 100-plus-year-old man binding a young man in his prime to be sacrificed? There was a lot of trust and faith, not only between God and Abraham, but also between Abraham and Isaac. This was no laughing matter. The knife. The knife was at Isaac's neck. To kill Isaac would make God's promise void. Abraham had to have been thinking of God's promise voided as he put the knife to Isaac's neck. The blessing would be nothing but a void, without meaning or hope. But wait. That's when the angel of the Lord stopped the sacrifice. Abraham was willing to give over his one and only son to God, the son born from his love to his wife of many years, the son of promised blessing. Hey, Abraham had passed the final test at last. God did provide a ram for the offering, a ram that was stuck in a thicket. And the angel of the Lord spoke again. Abraham was reminded of the blessing that he was given so long ago. Reminded yet again, you will be blessed so that you may bless all people. So how do we connect to this story from Abraham's life? What might God be calling us to sacrifice that we may think that the good news for us is firmly built upon? What or who might be our Isaac? Well, perhaps God is calling us to rethink what the endowment can and should be used for. Or perhaps God is calling us to rethink how and where we should gather for worship. You know, sacrifice the church building. It would be something very, very difficult to let go of. There are so many memories here, so many beautiful things to look at. Sell it off and find alternative places to worship in the community. Be a wandering community of Christ followers without a home. Or perhaps God is calling us to rethink what mission and service looks like in the communities in which we live. Perhaps God is calling us to speak the good news in our communities in a new and tangible way. We look at our small community and perhaps we see a knife at our necks. Our God is the God of the test and the God of the blessed. The tension, it's real. How will God provide? Just as Abraham and Isaac listened and looked, we too must listen for God and look around us. God will provide. Are we willing to trust God when all of our senses tell us that the proposition looks dead? That the promised blessing is null and void? Well, God has provided in the past. God will provide again. Keep the faith, even in the face of what we see as the void. Amen.